Now, prior to our text here in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 6, and 1 through 6 is talking about the theological idea called general revelation. Now, here's what general revelation is. General revelation is observing creation and all that God has made, and we, by observing it all, know that God is creator. We know it. Psalm 19:1, if you were to look at it, it says, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky proclaims his handiwork. And what I'd like to point out here is that God has laid a path for us to see that he's the master designer of all things. We are without excuse. If you go to Romans 1:20, it says, for his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and his divine nature, have been clearly seen ever since the creation of the world and since they have been made. So they are with us. All people at all times are without excuse that God is created all. So for those in the world today to deny God's existence, Scripture says that God knows his excuse. But that no excuse is fear God knows all things by observing the intelligence in the universe. Even though our world is now perfectly positioned from the sun, let me have these four seasons. First season, if you will. But plants are able to flourish. The animals are able to provide for us. We are able to provide for each other. But in general, it's like a finding to the world of food. It's just God. That is not random happenstance. And in fact, if you had ever come across somebody who has skeptical views about God being clear of all, I'm going to ask them this question. How many times has random chaos, without a designer, led to the existence of a masterpiece? Without a designer, random chaos, thrown all in a blender, how often has that led to a masterpiece? I hope the listeners at home, with a semi-decent amount of design, whenever I put something, if I put something on the stove, something pretty showed up. I would say it's a masterpiece per se, but something is there, but there still had to be a designer that puts it off the table. Okay? And just imagine, no design, random chaos. And we're to believe that all that we see, the planets of the universe, can be here. Okay? It's what scriptures say, is that when God is going to create, he makes it plain to us that he's the creator and designer of all. Again, this is the same old revelation. What we can see and know based on our experience of the world. Now, our text today has to do with special revelation. What special revelation is this? It's that the Bible was inspired by the Holy Spirit to move men within the words of Scripture, and it has been preserved and passed down for us. No. The lot. This is where you sum that up is special revelation before we have the scriptures. By which we know God and we understand for life. Special revelation. Many others say they may know God based on life experiences or wisdom or dreams, but the only way to truly know God as personal relationship comes by knowing Him in His Word. This is the way He wants us to know Him, according to what He has said. And might I add, what Scripture does, and what Scripture is God telling us something about Himself. Not us trying to figure out God over thousands and thousands of years based on our history, but God presenting Himself to us. The author of Christian theology, Miller Derrick's Patriots, knowledge of God is possible because God brings the gap between men and men. He is. He's the way we know Him, and He's the way we have a personal relationship with Him. Think about this. Would you rather somebody get to know you based on secondhand misinformation or secondary sources, or would you rather they get to know you directly? free, you would want to have a look at some of these directions. So here's what happens. When it comes to God, many people form their ideas off of hearsay. Well, I know these people of God because of some of the conversations about God. Or I know this about God because, you know, I've been through at least 3 years of life. That's not true. You can say, talk to yourself. That's not true. But you say it in the world. It's only out there that you can based on information and secondary sources. But it's good news. We have the primary source by which we know him and know how he and they themselves have been able to test God's word. So all that gives us some background to transition into Psalm chapter 19, verse 7. So go back there with me. Go back there with me. Now, I want you to see this. The first thing I want you to see is that Scripture builds up. Does Scripture not say this? The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The testimony of the Lord is pure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pleasant, enduring forever. The rules of the Lord are free, and the righteous all get. Now, this is a part of Scripture that you'll see words like law and testimony, precepts, commandments, and rules. Each of those is a part of Scripture. Some of those are different sentences, and some of those are very similar, but these are different parts and aspects of the Scripture. And that's not where we're going to focus today. We're going to focus on how Scripture describes itself to be the adjective. Not only the adjective, but what the Scripture says, how it affects those who say that God's word. And first, what I want to see is this: the word of God is perfect, provided the same. That word perfect means this: it means complete, perfect, lacking nothing. Scripture includes all that it means for man to know about God and to obvious things. Probably familiar with 2 Timothy 3, 16 through 17. It says this: all Scripture is written out by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. And the perfect and complete word of God has effect on good work. It says, reviving the soul. Well, here, the King James translation here, it says, converting the soul, which means salvation. The Scriptures bring to knowledge what salvation is about so we can receive salvation and be transformed by the gospel. Jesus says in John 5:24, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in the sin has eternal. It is not so many judgments, but it's past and death to us. Death to us. The second thing I want you to see, the word of God is sure, making wise the simple, sure being verified. Or in other words, it has God's stamp of approval on it. We can bet on the Scriptures. And a sure word has the effect of making wise the simple, meaning when you come to Scripture with your pride, you will be humbled. In Matthew 23:12, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So we see both are true. When you come to the Word of God, with pride, God will humble it. When you become humbly, God is raised. The third thing we want to see about the Scriptures is that the Word is right. The Word is right, rejoicing the heart. And right means morally right. Right that leads us in this righteousness that leads us into his ways. He says in John 14:23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my commandments. If you love God, you follow him. And the right of righteous word has the effect of rejoicing in our hearts in that walking in obedience to the Lord teaches us how to have joy. How to have joy. We have joy in the Word by obeying God. That's when you follow Jesus, there should be this joy that overflows in your life because you, all of you, regardless of where you are, regardless of where you're from, what your background is, you were made in the image of God. So love what you love and enjoy what you enjoy. At the very beginning, scripture talks about this. This 1:27 says, so God created man in his own image. And then the God who created the fourth thing I want us to see is that the scriptures are pure. That word pure there is very similar to what the word does. So pure means clear, that is clear to understand. The word of the scriptures are clear. And not only are they clear, but they clarify what's around us. The Proverbs 6:23 says, so the commandments, which is part of the word, is a lamp. And the teacher a life, and the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. Now, you all know what life is about. You know, when you're in your house, you turn on a light, and that's what is absolutely clear. And this is very specific to our life. When we go to God's Word makes what is plainly clear more clear. This is why the Word is a life, not life with no breath. And a pure word has the effect of lightning in our lives. Being scripture helps us see pure and holy. And God's word is a certain focus in this pure and holy. 1 Peter 1:22 says, having purified your soul by obedience to the truth, for it's sincere for your love, love of the Lord is a pure heart. What the scripture does is it purifies your walk. As you take in the word of God and a believer of God, you become more and more pure. It's clean. The scriptures are clean. Enduring forever. Clean means pure, holy, absolute imperfection. Psalm 119:11 says, I stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against God. I stored up your word so that no matter where I'm at, no matter who's around me, no matter what my situation is, I will not sin against you. So in moments of pain, in moments of frustration, in moments where you're out there on the road, pray God's word to respond, ask God to remind you of the scriptures that have been stored up in your heart for so long. Christian imagery is so vital to your Christian life. If we have nothing else as far as we get the word out of us to see what is true, but to see what around us is true. And the same word that we said that endures forever or works forever. Not only in the life of you, but also in the story, it continues to work. 1 Peter 1:23-25 says, if you've been born again, not a perishable seed, but an imperishable through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and its glory like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls. But the Word of the Lord remains. I want you to imagine a sport without rules. I want you to imagine a judge without morals. A vacation with no destination. An artist with no canvas. And lastly, the world with no direction. No word of God. Limited place. Limited direction in life. But the word of God is not. Much the people of God, and much the ministry of God. And God, who suffered, and has walked in your life, is different. So we want God to lead us, and we want God's word desirable, I mean, it all comes. So it's pretty much like talking to the soul, if you will. The word of God gives you much like talking to you. At first, the word may not have a strong appeal, but over time, you can take it more and more and more. You see the benefits of the word of God. You see the value it has. It's like talking in your daily life. The scriptures move you into the benefits that God wants to give you. God's word says much like this. They even talk about the word in Psalm 102 like this. First, I'll give you that word. Consider how much I love your precepts. Give me life according to your steadfast love. You see how much the writer David loves the word of God? And many times he's talking about the law. And I pray more and more we would be people that see the word God as something we can share. I know even, not only that we can do this, but I know even the Muslim faith, where they read the Quran, get to the highest shelf in the house, and so on, and God is, instead of God's bigger Bible, it's a human. But I think there's something to say about how God's word cares and it does and it feels like the wealth of life that it is. What do you do about it? Is that what you're lost from? Don't go lost. Read this and more next Sunday. What we can gather next. Well, for starters, let's remain to get into the business of Greek scripture this year. There was a kid from a little high school football team that had a game that was going to be out last year. And he came up to me and he told me that he had lost the desire to read the Bible. And I said, hey, what do I do about that? I said, well, this is going to be revolutionary. But if you have the Holy Spirit of God, you can go back to the Word. And as you grow in your knowledge of God's Word, there's people who love and who love. If you have the Holy Spirit of God, as you go to God's Word, what the Holy Spirit does is it illuminates the Scripture, helps you see what is true, what is right, what is good, and you see it. The gift of God has in you. You have your guide and stuff. Work. Is your attraction. So let's get to the Scripture. Because Scripture does the work of us, we can't do for ourselves. Hebrews chapter 4:12 says, the Word of God is living now. Stop with any two-edged sword. Two senses are given of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and marrow, of discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. And since God's word through all of these things, will it not help us more desire the Father? If we do all these things, would it not help us know what school to please and to God? Would it not make us do that as yourself? If you ever read the word of God, and present all these things in one place. The second thing I want us to do, as we begin 2022, go grab one of those readings by the Bible and start going through it. Go through it together with your faithful class. Go through it together with your friends from the church. And if you're online and you're at home, since you're on your phone, go to webmaster.org, scroll to the bottom, and there's two minutes available for you. Third thing we can do is we can have sort of quiet time. That's not really good, right? And what I mean by this is, when I was in seminary, I had so much to read. And so I started to think, how can I better retain to recall God's word in my life throughout the day? And so what I started to do is I started to read it smaller parts. Like I was looking at a chapter of scripture and read half of that chapter before. And what happened was I was able to remember God's word throughout the day when I was part of the Holy Spirit. Not only that, but I was able to share that with other people as well. So maybe we need to keep the word of God in smaller chunks so we can remember that. And then later in the day, read the rest of that chapter. All these things are in life, which we remember, knowledge of, but the truth, God works in them. So, where do you want to benefit from reading all of Scripture? It's something I've been asking myself to do recently. And the thing that I want to do when I go to God's Word is I want God's Word to help come to my own heart. And for some of us, we need somebody to go to. But before you go to anybody else, would you not first go to God with all of your needs? And it's given you His Word. And you can remember all the things that are right in your community. Would you not first go there? And I really want this, and maybe there's something you want to say in Scripture that we've already talked about today. Maybe you want to grow in wisdom. Maybe you want to live a more joyful life. Maybe you want to grow in judging your life. Or maybe you're here today, and you're not a believer yet, so you need the birth of the soul. You need salvation. This morning, we're here to offer salvation. We're going to move to the time of transition. So I want to tell you here today, it's very direct and very matter of fact. If you do not have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you have no forgiveness of sins. You have no eternal life ahead of you. And your work, all of this you ever do, will fall short of your faith. Why Jesus offered himself. He lived a perfect life that you could not live. He never sinned. He never gave himself to you. He only worked to please God. He lived a perfect life and died on a cross for your sins. It's something you also can't do. You cannot pay for your sins. Your good works will not outweigh your bad, nor can your good works cover your sins. You need salvation on the cross of your faith and love for you. And what Jesus will do is offer you this forgiveness. And your sin will be forgotten as far as you can see from the way. If you want life, then please, your soul will be clear and good and good before God. But you just died. You rose from the grave. We have to offer people that you have a resurrected life, so that because Jesus rose from the grave, you will rise one day with your God, and now from this life to the next, you can have hope, knowing that eternity is secure. No more stress, no more pain, no more suffering, no more anxiety, because all things will be taken care of by Jesus. And all that is in heaven is yours to you. So be back in your position with you, and all that Jesus can do. Thank you.